please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. There in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. You find the book of the Ephesians. You just keep flipping. You can go on past Philippians and Colossians. If you go to Timothy, you've gone too far. And just flip back a couple pages and you will get to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And here's a contrast. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Another contrast here. But let us, the children of light, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, tonight, my goal is to do just that, what we see in verse 11. I pray that we'll be able to comfort ourselves together tonight. That we will be able to edify, build each other up as the Word of God commands us to. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I just want to bring a short message. A short message entitled this, No Time to Panic. No time to panic. You know, this passage of Scripture gives a clear description of how the believer should have confidence and calmness while waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our spirits can be steadfast tonight. Our hearts can be strengthened. Our souls can be at peace. Our minds can be at ease, and we can be stress-free, worry-free, if we truly live in the light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this letter, this epistle written to the Thessalonians, and is to that direct purpose, Paul wanted to encourage them about just some things they can be relieved about. And the relief specifically is in the context of the coming judgment. We here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church believe in the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the imminent return. We believe in the pre-trib, if you will. We believe that Jesus is coming before the tribulation takes place. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And I do, we do look at the Scriptures that I do believe give very strong evidence, to show us that. But you know, it is something to have confidence and calmness while waiting for the coming of Christ. And Paul's going to try to encourage them in that way. Have you ever witnessed, someone who has calmness during chaos? It's reassuring, is it not? It's helpful. We've all been in that place where we've been rattled and we're spacey in our thinking and just uncertain. And we look to people who are a rock and steadfast in moments like that. and it's helpful. Well, I will say that God's desire for His children are to be of that spirit while we wait, even though it seems many things around us, and it is in many ways, are going very wrong. I remember one instance just recently. As you know, I love military history, especially U.S. military history, and studying that. And just recently, I was looking at some World War II documentaries, and we just recently saw, we were reminded of this certain general who actually landed on D-Day, the beaches of Normandy. We just remembered that as it being just so many years ago, but we do realize that there in 1944, as they landed on the beaches of Normandy, many men gave their lives. And there was one particular general. In fact, it's interesting because he was the only general that landed on the beaches that day, a United States general. And his name, does anybody know? Nope. Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt Jr., the son of President Roosevelt. And he landed on the beaches that day, and the beach he specifically landed on was Utah. And they tried to convince him. He had other buddies that were general buddies of his, and tried to convince him not to do it, but he wanted to do it. He was determined to do it. I'm telling you, a war horse. He loved his country. He knew that this was a lot was at stake. Men's freedom was at stake. And so he determined he was going to go that day. And he did. And the testimony of his men and soldiers is this. And there were none that contradicted this testimony. But they said on that day, General Teddy Roosevelt Jr., when he landed on the beaches that day, he was older than all those men, and I mean way older. And if you can imagine being one of those young 18, 19-year-old soldiers getting up on the beach and under enemy fire and looking up and seeing this old general standing there, get it now, this is true, with a cane because he had bad arthritis. He had a cane and he was just as calm and collected under enemy fire. Fire's coming and he's directing the soldiers in the direction to go. And here's this man who was calm and collective. In fact, he realized after landing they were a mile off of target to where they were to be put off on the beaches. And so what they did is they got the maps together and General Roosevelt started looking at the map. And the testimony goes this, as he looked at it and studied the map, he confidently stated to the men that were around him, he said, "We're a mile off," but he said, "We will start the war from here." And they were on it. And they were pressing forward and just for those men to see that confidence of that general moving forward. And boy, I tell you, what a lesson of servant leadership right there. This great leader going forward and taking his men with great confidence. And he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor, because believe it or not, and this is another interesting fact about his testimony. He went on under enemy fire on the beaches, survived that invasion, but just over a month later, he died of a heart attack. He sure did. But it wasn't during battle, but that goes to show you our times are in God's hands. Our times are in God's hands. But he sure did. He did that. And that is a reminder of me as I read about his testimony. If you watch any documentaries or if you've seen The Longest Day, you see that testimony that he upheld. And I think about Christians now. The way we are under enemy fire and Satan trying to hit us left and right. It could be easy to get discouraged, but I'm telling you, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to Him for great confidence and to know that we can be confident and calm while we wait on the Lord. Now, I just want to point out a few things, and I'm going to try to go through these quickly. Number one, I want us to see verses 1-3. We see that Paul paints the picture of coming judgment for unbelievers. Because you notice he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, these times of judgment that I'm going to be talking about here in just a moment are not going to be applied to you. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, quickly, the day of the Lord here is talking about the coming judgment of Jesus Christ during the tribulation. You go through and you read the prophets and the minor prophets, you can see that term used, the day of the Lord. It is the coming judgment of Jesus Christ, and it comes at a thief in the night. And it says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, verses 1 through 3, who is he talking about here? He's talking about people that will enter into the tribulation time after the coming of Christ, after the rapture. Why do I believe that's the context? Well, if you remember in your Bible, if you go back and look at verse number 13 in chapter 4 through verses 18, what a classic passage of Scripture on the rapture, on the coming of Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes right from talking about the rapture, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to call His church, and that is what he's referring to here. But here, he's talking about how Jesus Christ will come at a time where He will bring judgment upon this earth. And we don't have to worry about that tribulation time as believers. Why is that? Paul explains it. Notice verses 4 through 8. He says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. What is he talking about here? He's talking about here the very fact is these people are blind. They are living in darkness. They don't realize the coming wrath of God could come at any moment. They are living as if it's not going to happen. They are living as if it's non-existent. They are living as if it's just a fantasy. And they have been deceived and received a lie that none of this truth applies to them. So guess what? The Bible, Paul describes them as being in darkness. They don't even understand what's going on. But we, as God's children, we understand. We are children of light. We are children of the day. And therefore, we have understanding because we have the whole revelation of God. And we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been given His Spirit to where we understand it. So tonight, brethren, if you're a born-again child of God, you are the children of light and you are the children of day, and you should, as a Bible student, have an understanding that you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. And it's ironic because there are times where God's children, the ones that are in panic mode and they're worrying, and then you get the lost people who aren't worrying. If there's anybody on this earth that should be in worry mode, it should be unbelievers. I tell you, we see here that Paul is painting a picture of saying, you children of light, listen up. You're not going to go through this time of tribulation. Notice what he says in verse 6. Because you are children of light, he's going to share some things here that should be true in every believer's life. And I'm going to go through these just very quickly. If you're taking notes, number one, we see that God tells us clearly as the children of light to just be watchful. Notice verse number 6. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know, our theme this year is arise. And I'm so thankful God gave us that theme and it just laid that upon my heart, because it really has, to me, become so evident in my own life how I have been sleeping as a Christian and how I've slumbered in so many ways. And God is using the current events in our lives, in our world today, and has pointed me to His Word and said, son, you need to wake up. And I believe that is an urgent call that is coming from the Word of God, even in this passage where many times I sort of took lightly. I knew it was there. I read it, taught it, preached it. But in my life, to the glory of God, I've never sensed a sense of urgency in my life to try to wake up. And I trust that the Lord will help us in that. But we see here that there needs to be a watchfulness. What does that word mean when he says there in verse 6? He says, don't be sleepy as these others are who could care less, but let us watch. That word watch means to give strict attention. Strict attention to what? Well, to several things. Number one, strict attention to the Word of God. We got to be watchful to the Word of God tonight. We can't just pass by it, let it go through one ear out the other, or just let it be one of those things. Yes, I've heard that, but actually letting it get down in our hearts and awaken, bringing an awakening in our lives, an attentiveness. When we stood watch in the military, I can remember just how serious it was to always be attentive. And I can remember, especially when you had that 4 to 8 watch. I remember even in boot camp when you were hardly getting any sleep, and we were just tired. And then you got this certain watch from like 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning, one of the worst watches in my opinion. But it was hard many times to stay awake. You wanted to doze off. But boy, you and your buddies, you really held each other accountable. Because if at that any time one of those company commanders would have walked up and caught you dozing off, yeah, it was not pretty at all. It was bad. And a lot of times, a lot of guys got in big trouble, not just necessarily having to do a bunch of push-ups, but a lot of times guys got put back. Several weeks, and because of the things that they had done, they had fell asleep on the watch, and there was a serious snare, teacher, because when we went to the field, when we were standing watch, your crew, the whole sleeping crew, if you will, who were resting over the night, those guys that were up there on in the crow's nest, keeping watch at night, and if we were at port, sometimes we were in some shady countries pulling in the port, and when you stood a watch, you were out there on the quarter deck, we would call it sometimes, but you were out there standing a watch, and guess what? You were responsible. Somebody were to walk up, you were on the lookout. And if you were to fall asleep at that time, oh buddy, it was big time trouble. Because staying awake and alert was very serious. And I do believe God wants us to stay alert and awake, and especially as we see God bringing things to pass. So we see that we pay strict attention to the things of God, His Word, what God is doing, and even our world around us. What is happening here? Why do these people seem so blind? Why do people seem like they just don't understand? Well, we see right here, don't we? They're in darkness. They're in darkness. And so it says that we ought to be not only watchful, but number two, we need to be sober. Notice what the Word of God says there. It says there in verse number 6, it says, let us watch and be sober. Now that word sober there means to be temperate and calm. In other words, no worrying, no panicking going on. But do we see maybe the opposite of that taking place in our world today? We see an unbelieving world, a lost world in many ways that can panic, and they lose all control, and they end up killing and destroying, and my friends, that is not of God. And we see that is the reason that is because they are in darkness, and the Bible even likens this group to a drunken stupor. Look at that in verse number, I believe it's there in verse number 7. It says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. There's no watchfulness. There's no soberness there. And we see that it's clear. But then also we see, and let me give you these three. We see faith, love, and hope. Notice with me, these are characteristics for God's people while we await the coming of Christ. Notice what your Bible says there in verse number 8. It says, but let us, those are Christians, those are believers who are of the day, be sober. There it is again, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now let me pause there for a minute. What is this breastplate of faith and love? Well, again, it's symbolic of the Roman soldier's attire, his battle attire, and that breastplate would cover from the neck down to the waist, and it would protect those vital organs. And what Paul is saying right here in his illustration, he says, put on that breastplate of faith and love. Well, how can we interpret that? What does he mean by faith? Well, faith, number one, to believe that God is in charge. God is in charge. He's working His plan. Hey, you know the recent news of some of these rioters destroying statues and different things of that nature and historical sites, and they're trying to erase history and different things of that nature. And I'm not getting into the political discussion of that, but here's the thing. They can try to erase history, but the fact of the matter is they cannot. And they will not. Because when we look at history, we have to look at history as God's plan for the ages. Yes, it includes fallen man. And yes, unfortunately, it includes sinful choices by wicked man because of his wicked heart. But along the ages, along the plan of all the wickedness, we've also seen the plan of redemption. We've also seen the plan of the cross. We've also seen the plan of the empty tomb. And over the centuries, we've seen that wicked, fallen man who was lost in darkness come to the light and put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, and it's changed his life, and it's changed her life, and it's changed their life. The media is not going to talk about that, friend. I like what A.T. Pearson said. He said, history is his story. The old theologian said, history is his story, and God's writing the history. God's got the record books, and you're not going to erase it from God. We look back, and of course there are things we are ashamed about. I am. There are things in my own life that I'm ashamed of. And everybody in this room, if they were honest, would give that same exact testimony. But thank God we found redemption. And we found it in the person of Jesus Christ. My friends, we see that there's a faith in God that He's in charge and that He's saving lives and He's using His church to announce the good news. A faith that God is in charge and that God is changing us. God is transforming us. The Lord Almighty is working. And as Paul is writing to these believers here who were confused about some things, they were confused about whether they were going to go through the tribulation, whether they were going to see their loved ones again, when God was coming. And Paul is assuring here right now, he's saying, listen, you are right where God wants you. You trust the Lord. This crowd who are unbelievers and they mock God and they're in darkness, they're in drunkenness, and their minds, if they don't turn and repent and believe the gospel, they're going to be the ones going into the judgment, not you. And so we see there's a faith here, but not only do we see there's a faith, but we see there's a love. Notice what he says, a breastplate of faith and love. A love for God and a love for our neighbor. That's what we have right here today, friends. We have, how do we stand strong as we wait on the Lord without panicking and worrying? We stand with the breastplate of faith and love, saying, God, I love you. I don't love you enough, but Lord, I love you. By the way, do you tell the Lord that often? If you're like me, you sometimes feel bad about saying that because you know the things you struggle with. But listen, can I tell you something? Don't let the devil keep you from saying, I love you to God. God knows all about your weaknesses and your struggles. When I tell my wife I love her, she knows that, but she knows all my weaknesses. She knows my failures. She knows the times I've let her down. But when she hears I love you, she says, I love you too. And she embraces it. And you know when God, when you say, I love you, you can, without a shadow of a doubt, every time God's going to say, I love you too. Praise God. Amen. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Every time, I love you too. That doesn't mean He overlooks our open sin. No. He loves us with an everlasting love. He's going to deal with us as His children. If we're in sin, He's saying, I'm going to love you too, and that's why I'm spanking you. That's what He'll say. Amen? That's what He'll do. Praise God. We see love for God, and we marvel in the fact that God loves us. And when you think about love too, I just posted a thing on Facebook earlier. I was so overwhelmed the other day, folks, I was so broken. My heart was so broken over the stuff I was seeing. And I didn't know what to do. But all I could think of is, God, You love those people. You died for those people. Just like You died for me and every single human being. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the little children of the world. And when I get a perspective on life and the waiting of Christ, I know that will help me stand strong and confident. And not only that I love God and He loves me, but I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to love him. I want to love him as much as I possibly can. I just want to love him. Love's a powerful thing, folks. Mark it down. Love always wins. Mark it down. Every time. Love always wins. You know why? I'm going to run a lap, brother. Because God is love. And God always wins. Am I wrong on that, folks? You see why we don't have to panic tonight, friends? Christian, if you're listening in live stream, we don't need to panic. We need to be watchful. We need to be sober. We need to be full of faith tonight that God is in charge. God's working out His plan. God's writing the history using the evil acts of mankind, even to bring the redemption of evil. God's working all that together. And I can know that He's loving me. I know that He's loving this world. And He's wanting to reach this world through me and my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we see hope. Now check this. Don't miss this. We see that He has faith, love, and then He says, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, where's He going with this? Well, you can't stop right there. You got to read verse 9. Verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now, the Calvinist would want to take verse 9 and say, see, there are some people appointed to wrath. But my friends, this is not in the context of eternal salvation. This is talking about salvation from the 7-year tribulation time. You see what He's saying here? Because look, the hope of salvation. Listen, my salvation was settled on the day that I trusted Christ. It doesn't start at some time. When I die or however many years from now, boy, I received eternal life the day at the age of 21 I called upon my Savior. It was settled. But this salvation right here is talking about to these Thessalonians, and it's talking about these brothers and sisters here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church tonight. You know what He's saying? Folks, don't worry about the tribulation. You know why? Because I'm coming to call you out of there. I'm coming for you, bride. Jesus, before hell breaks loose, literally hell is going to break loose on this earth where you and I are right now. Hell's going to break loose, but Jesus says you're not going to be a part of it because you're going to be with me. You are going to be with me. And we see here that He's talking about this hope of salvation. I tell you right now, we look at the world and we say, oh my, this is getting scary. My friends, don't be scared. This is nothing compared to what this world is going to face. Right now, it's time for us to just gleam with light the light of Christ. That's why Paul told the Ephesians in our theme verse, did he not? He said, "Arise out of the sleep, ye that slumber, and Christ shall give thee light." The church has fallen asleep. I like what one pastor just said recently. He said, God will sweep across our nation if the church refuses to sleep across our nation. A lot of truth to that. The hope. I'm thankful tonight that I know that before the tribulation comes and before the Antichrist reveals himself, even during all that chaos, I'm going to be with my Savior. And I'm telling you, it's going to be rough, folks. I can't even read the book of Revelation. Read the book of Daniel. Read through the minor prophets and the major prophets and the sections where you see the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this place, upon the earth. And you know what? Right now, believe it or not, you know, I'm not going to go to it, but in Thessalonians, it talks about him that letteth, talking about the Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit is holding back a certain element of evil in our world. But when the tribulation takes place, the Spirit of God is coming out of here. And it's going to be wide open. So we have a time right now, brethren, to wake up. We have a speck of time in God's grand plan. I don't know, perhaps the generation of Thomas and Susan Dyer, of Brinson and Joanna Jennings, the generation of Ben Swofford, perhaps the generation of Doris Stone will be the generation that Jesus comes back. And if He does, will He find us watching? Will He find us sober? Will He find us full of faith and love? Or will He find us with that crowd who is sleeping, who are complaining and criticizing and full of hate themselves because of bitterness? Oh, my friends, I want to be of that crowd that is confident in His coming and looks forward to His coming. We see here in our closing, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Comfort tonight. And edify one another. Build each other up. Even as also ye do. That's what we're doing tonight, folks. We're building each other up. Oh, Lord. You say, the critics and the scoffers, well, they say, yeah, you Christians, y'all been talking about this coming of the Lord Jesus all these centuries. These nearly 20 centuries and you've been talking about this coming. Where is He? I'll tell you this, I know where He is. When He's coming, I don't know the date. But I know it's soon. Because our timeline and God's timeline are totally different. But when He comes, I want to be ready. I want to be ready, Brother Thomas. You pray for me that I'll be ready. I want to pray that our church will be ready. And I'm not a date setter and won't even get close to being one. But my friends, I'm afraid the church has fallen asleep when it comes to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I will sign up as being number one fella who has fallen asleep. And I want to be looking, watchful. And I don't have to worry about the wrath. And I want to be comforted tonight. I hope you are comforted tonight. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, outlook determines outcome. And when your outlook is the uplook, then your outcome is secure. I'm going to say that again. Outlook determines outcome. And when your outlook is the uplook to the Lord, then your outcome is secure. And so we look to the Lord tonight. And we know that tonight and today, this day, June the, what is it, 17th, 2020, is no time to panic, is it? It's a time to be excited. It's a time to be full of faith and full of love and to be watchful and sober. And it's a time to be comforted by one another. And I pray that that will be the case for each of us. Let's pray together.